Jagat Mangalam. All auspicious for the world. Advaita. Advaita Acharya. Mangala Guna Dham. The reservoir of all auspicious attributes. Mangala Charitra. All characteristics are auspicious. Sada. Always. Mangala. Auspicious. Yanra Nama. Whose name? Translation. And purport by His Divine Grace, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Abhayashana Aravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada King. Being a reservoir of all auspicious attributes, Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious for the world. His characteristics, activities, and name are always auspicious. Everyone repeat, this is a very, some of you may not know this word, auspicious. It means it benefits the whole world. But it's beneficial for everyone, auspicious. But it's super, super beneficial, auspicious. It's like a, it's not a common word. You don't say, hey there man, you look really auspicious. It's really, instead of really cool, you say, really auspicious, man. You don't say that, you know. But actually, it's quite a nice word. It's auspicious. Okay, repeat. Being a reservoir of all auspicious attributes, Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious for the world. His characteristics, activities, and name are always auspicious. You could have another word, adverb, auspicity. There's many words you could come from auspicious. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Advaita Prabhu, who is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, is an acharya, or teacher. All his activities and all the other activities of Vishnu are auspicious. Anyone who can view the all auspiciousness in the pastimes of Lord Vishnu also becomes auspicious simultaneously. Therefore, since Lord Vishnu is a fountainhead of auspiciousness, anyone who is attracted by the devotional service of Lord Vishnu can render the greatest service to human society. Rejected persons of the material world who refuse to understand pure devotional service as the eternal function of the living entities and as actual liberation of the living beings from condemned life become bereft of all devotional service because of their poor fund of knowledge. Wow. Heavy duty paragraph, no? So, as I was saying before, this is a completely spiritual movement. We accept these bodies as a covering of the soul, just like the driver is covered by a motor car or a plane or a bicycle or whatever. It's a vehicle. So, what is the real welfare of the soul? What is real welfare work? What is real well-being? What is the real good? What is the real good for all Australian people? What is it good for all English people? What is it good for all American people, all Russian people? Because we're not this body. What is it good for all Chinese people? what is good for all the tree people in eucalyptus trees who are getting burnt down. What is good for the koala bears? What is good for the what's good for the fishes also? So shouldn't we be thinking of that? Because according to Bhagavad Gita, the living being is transmigrating from body to body, lifetime after lifetime. You may say, I don't believe that. You may say, I don't believe. But what about this body, my dear sir? My dear PhD, MA, in what's this place called? Melbourne University. How many universities here? How many universities in Melbourne? Huh? Six universities here. And do they teach that, what we are? Just like Bhagavad Gita is teaching the ABC of spiritual knowledge. Once we had a baby body, actually we had an embryo body in the womb of our mother. I just heard from my disciple in Nepal. She has twins, and they're kicking. And they're due to appear on Lord Chaitanya's appearance day. Yes. They're kicking. That means they're alive inside there. They're alive. They can hear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So when your body's born, you're you. It's my body. And then the body grows up. I've got a hat which shows this. And I should have brought my hat to the class. And then the body grows up more. And you start to run around. And you start to think, and then it grows a bit more. But the body's changing. You're the same. Your mother will tell you you're the same. And when you grow old like me, 75, and you're half dead, you know, and you're still, I'm still me. I'm the proprietor of this lump of stool, this lump of meat, flesh, bones, and secretions and blood, everything. I'm living inside this. You know, this is my mind, my head, my nose, my fingers. Everyone experiences this. Even Mr. Putin, even Mr. Trump. He says, my finger, my nose, my... So who am I? It's a good question. Am I just chemicals? Has it happened to come because of a chemical reaction? If so, why the scientists don't create life? I have to go back to basics here. It's about Advaita Charya, but it's important. You know, why does Advaita Charya appear? Because he's an educator, he's a teacher, like Prabhupada. So the basic stuff is there. The basic science of the self, is there in the Bible. We don't disagree with the Bible. Lord Jesus said, if you gain the whole world, but you lose your immortal soul, what is the value? Satan took Jesus up on a big mountain. He saw all the opulences of the material world. And what did Jesus say? Sorry. I'm not interested. Because I know I'm not this body. If I gain the whole world, I lose my soul, what's the value? Because I have to change my body, keep changing. If I keep changing my body, what do I get? Birth, old age, disease, and death. Who wants to grow old? Who wants to die? Nobody. Who wants diseases? Who wants coronavirus? Now there's 7 million people are locked into their cities in China because of some bug, some virus. They're scared stiff, you see. You see, nobody wants to get to die. But why don't we want to die? Why? Because it's not natural for us to die. The soul is permanent. We're changing our body, we're still the same. We've changed our body so many times, just like we change our clothes. Prasamti jinana yatavihaya. We're changing our body like clothes. So it's not a big thing. Death is not a big thing. It's just a change of body. It's not very good politically. For nationalism, this is very bad news. Very bad news. That's why the Roman Empire, Justinian, he cut out reincarnation from the Bible. There was a church synod, 546 in Constantinople. They removed reincarnation from the Bible. But it was the original teachings of Jesus. We have to change body. It's a common sense, actually. We're not this body. But what university in Melbourne is teaching this? But that's why Advaita Acharya came. It's a very nice story about Advaita Acharya. Actually, you want to hear a nice story? Yeah. It's from Lochan Das Thakur in Chaitanya Mangal. One time, Krishna was in Dwarka and he was being fanned by Rukmini, his chief wife, his first wife. And Krishna was looking at Rukmini and tears were coming from her eyes and her hair was standing on end and she was trembling. And she thought, Krishna was thinking, is my wife well? Is she sick? He said to Rukmini, my dear Rukmini, my beloved wife, what's the problem? She said, oh, my lord, you cannot understand. You're Bhagavan. You're full with six opulences. You know past, present, and future, all wealth, all beauty, all strength, all fame, all renunciation, all knowledge. But you, Krishna was saying, I'm Bhagavan, but I don't understand what she's feeling. I don't understand. And she said, yes, but it's actually because you're Bhagavan, you can't understand. You don't understand what it's like to love you, to serve you, to be subordinate to you, to be your servant, your wife. So Krishna's thinking, oh, what's there's something I don't know. Devotional service, the love of myself. I don't know love of myself. That's something, it's true, I don't know love of myself. And then who should appear in Dwarka but Narad Muni? He's a transcendental spaceman. He has a spiritual body. He doesn't need, you know, Apollo rocket ship or, you know, jet propelled. He can travel in his own spiritual body into any universe. Not this universe, any universe. He's as good as the super soul. But he's a living entity like you and me. But he has his spiritual body, which can never die. Eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Actually, each one of us has a body like that. But we're forgetting. We're in a dream. Anyway, Narad Muni comes along. And he's in a bad shape. And Krishna says, why are you so miserable? What's wrong? He says, well, I've seen the miseries of this modern day and age, Kali Yuga, where nobody is satisfied, where people are like animals fighting over stolen property. The politicians are like thieves fighting over stolen property. This world belongs to God. It doesn't belong to America. It doesn't belong to Russia. It doesn't belong to Australia. Has Australia created these elements? Has Australia created the sky? Has Australia created the sand on the beach? Has Australia created the bubbles on the ocean? Has America created the Rocky Mountains? Has Britain created anything? No. Because nationalism is bogus. It's not true. Everything's the energy of God. So this is the basic thing. Narada Muni came and he said to Krishna, I'm so worried about the people in Kali Yuga. They have short lives, only 70 or 80 years. They're Prinal Payusa Sabya Kalavas Minyugajana Manda Sumanda Mataya Manda Bhagya Hipadrita. They're unlucky, always disturbed. The politicians are giving them paper money, bits of plastic. And then they take the paper money, they go to the shop, and then everything's expensive. They're getting cheated. So I'm so sorry for them. What we can do, I don't know. They're not interested in spiritual life. They're only interested in drinking their beer, eating their meat, having sex, and gambling, sporting. How's cricket going to save you from old age, disease, and death? How's football going to save you from birth, old age, disease, and death? Human life is meant for solving the problems of life. We're not animals. Dharmena hina pashubi samana. The advantage of a human life is that we can inquire, who am I? Why I have to die? Why I have to grow old? Why I have to have diseases? And unfortunately, universities all over the world, they're not teaching these questions. I went through all the universities. I went to public school. I went to all the education. Nobody answered my question, who am I? Not one single person. Just speculators. Until I read Prabhupada's books, Bhagavad Gita. All the questions were answered in the books of Srila Prabhupada. So anyway, Narada Muni said to Krishna, only if you come yourself, my dear Lord, then you can solve this problem. So Krishna thought, wow, only if I go myself in Kali Yuga, in this terrible age, maybe that's a good idea. I'll go as a devotee. And I'll try and experience what is love of God. And at the same time, I'll spread the holy names. I'll spread the holy names all over the world. And there, everyone will become happy because the holy name is so powerful. It can awaken the soul. Enechiya shodi maya nashi baralagi harina mahamantra lao tumi magi. So then what happened? He said, okay, Narada, I'm going. I'm going in this golden form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Advaita Chaya, Narada Muni looked at the Lord and he transformed. Instead of bluish, blackish color, he became a beautiful devotee, golden devotee. So beautiful. And so he said, I'm going to go in this form to take advent in Mayapur. And I'm going to spread the Sankirtan movement, the chanting of the holy names. So then Lord Balaram was nearby. And he soon got the news. He came, hey, I hear going to the material world in Kali Yuga. Wow. I'm coming with you. I'm going to look after you. I'm going to be your elder brother, Lord Nityananda. Nityananda Prabhu King. And then, who else should hear? Who else heard? No, he wasn't Advaita Acharya then. Wrong. No, wrong. Wrong. Come on, all you Hindus, you should know this. Huh? Shiva, yes. Sadashiva. That Sadashiva is the pure Mahavishnu. Before he becomes Shambhu, he's called Sadashiva. And he's creating all the universes out of the skin pores. He's a creator. Everyone knows that Lord Shiva is the father of the material energy. He copulates with Durga, impregnates all the living entities in the different species of life. That's why in the Hindu system, and also Vaishnava, sometimes we have Shiva Lingam, like a big phallus. And Durga is, the receptacle. And he's impregnating all the living entities. But before that, he's Sadashiv, before he contacts the material energy. This is described in Brahma Samhita. So Sadashiv came. Pure Shiva comes running. Hey, I hear you're going to this material world. I want to go too. Please let me come too. So this is Mahavishnu, and he wants to come too. So in this way, the plan is, we'll descend. And Lord Chaitanya says to Acharya, to Advaita Acharya, you go first, you prepare the way. You take birth, and you prepare, you warn the Vaishnavas, we're coming. So that was Advaita Acharya's mission. Acharya means he was a teacher. He was the leader of the devotees of God. Okay, so we'll read the next paragraph. In the teachings of Advaita Prabhu, there is no question. Does anyone have a mobile phone? There's one symptom of old age. You have a torch? If I can read better, give us a torch, please. In some temples, they have a light, have a little light for the, or these old geezers like me, whose seeing is defective. Okay. In the teachings of Advaita Acharya, there's no question of fruitive activities or impersonal liberation. Bewildered by the spell of the material energy, however, persons who could not understand that Advaita Acharya is none different from Vishnu wanted to follow him with their impersonal conceptions. The attempt of Advaita Acharya to punish them is also auspicious. Lord Vishnu and his activities can bestow all good fortune directly and indirectly. In other words, being favored by Lord Vishnu and being punished by Lord Vishnu are one and the same, because all the activities of Vishnu are absolute. Vishnu means God. Vishnu is another name for God, or the Supreme Lord. According to some, Mangal was another name of Advaita Prabhu. As the causal incarnation, or Lord Vishnu's incarnation for a particular occasion, he is a supply agent or ingredient in material nature. However, he is never to be considered material. All his activities are spiritual. Anyone who hears about and glorifies him, Advaita Acharya, becomes glorified himself. For such activities free one from all kinds of misfortune. One should not invest any material contamination or impersonalism in the Vishnu form. Everyone should try to understand the real identity of Lord Vishnu, for by such knowledge one can attain the highest stage of perfection. Yeah, pure love of God is what Jesus Christ was teaching. Talk a bit about Christianity, because I think many Hindus don't know much, many of you from Hindu background, although Krishna consciousness is a science, it's not Hindu or Christian or Muslim. But many Christians out there may be listening to my class, and everyone knows that Jesus Christ is teaching love of God. The first commandment is to love God with all your heart and with all your soul. And then, love your neighbor as yourself. When you love God, then you love your neighbor. The problem is today, everyone's trying to love their neighbor. I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back, and forget about God, isn't it? So the whole world is going into a big mess, into nationalism and this pollution and eco disaster and everything. Because we're forgetting about God. So the science of God is very simple, actually. That Nicho, the Vedic scriptures describe the science. Nicho Nichanam Chetananam Ekobahanam Vidadati Kaman. Amongst all living beings, there's one supreme living being who's maintaining all the others. Maintaining all the others. So it's not me. Am I maintaining all the others? It's not you. Are you maintaining? Excuse me. What's your name? Krishna. Krishna. Okay. A good name. Are you maintaining all the living beings on this planet? No. Are you, Mataji?
No.
But the Vedic scriptures say there is one supreme being. He's very, 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 very. Everybody, very, 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 very big. Very, very big. He's huge. He's so huge, you can't understand. And that's Mahavishnu, Advaita Acharya. He's so big. When he breathes, what happens? In his form as Vishnu, Advaita Acharya, what happens? These little bubbles come out of his skin pores. It's really strange, isn't it?
so big, you know, this when he breathes, all these little bubbles come out of his skin pores. Isn't it amazing what the Hare Krishnas are teaching? It's like two guys at the bar, you know. You know, I was reading one of them books by the Hare Krishna. And it says, you know, this God is so big, when he breathes, all these bubbles come out. And you know what these bubbles are? They're universes. Can you imagine that? There's the Hubble telescope. He's looking out there, and there were some of those stars are millions of light years away. So the universe is so big, but it's just popping out of his skin. He's so big. So that's Advaita Acharya, you know. Such a huge incarnation of Vishnu. And he's not even Krishna. He's not even Krishna. Krishna expands as Mahavishnu to create these material universes. And then again, Mahavishnu expands as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu within each universe. And then he expands again as a super soul in everyone's heart. So Vishnu is very, very big, and he's one. God is one. My dear Islam, followers of Islam, Hare Krishna, we believe God is one. Only one. Allah, Jehovah. We're not normal Hindus who believe in many gods. We believe there's one supreme being, Advaita Acharya, his appearance day today. In the Vedic scriptures it says, Parichanaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskitam dharmasam sapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata abhyutanama dharmasya tadatmana srijamya. God is so powerful that he can enter into the prison house of this material world. Nobody likes to hear this. But actually, we're all imprisoned by the bars of birth, not the bars where you drink at, but the bars of birth, old age, disease, and death. We're imprisoned in these bodies which are going to grow old and die. So Krishna, God is very merciful, just like he appeared as Lord Jesus, as a Shaktivesh avatar. We recognize Lord Jesus. He appeared to teach spiritual knowledge. Unfortunately, it was manipulated through the ages by the church, the Roman Empire. They wanted to control everything. If you believe in reincarnation, it means that you can take birth as a Chinese next life, you can take birth as African, you can take birth as anything. Keep changing your body. It's useless for international politics, isn't it? Waste of time. So let's cut out this reincarnation business from the Bible. So, where are we now? I got sidetracked. Where were we talking about? So we're going to descend, yes. This is called avatar. Yada yada hi dharmasya. In order to please the devotees, to save the devotees, to curb down those who are atheists, who don't believe in God, and to teach spiritual knowledge, I appear age after age. Whenever there is a decline in religious practice and a predominant rise in irreligion, at that time I advent myself. And then there's another verse, very important. Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam abhyayoti san prakritim stam adhistaya sambhavami yugeya. Although I am unborn, Ajopi san avyayama, and my transcendental body never deteriorates, I still appear by my own internal energy. So when God appears, he's not like an ordinary person. Just like Lord Jesus. Of course, I use the example of Jesus because you all know. He's doing crazy, amazing things. Walking on the water, awakening the dead, you know, throwing out ghosts, you know. They had five loaves and so many fishes. And he fed 3,000 people with five small fishes and three loaves. Maybe I've got the wrong number wrong. And there was baskets left. Baskets of food left from just a few loaves. They were all in the desert. They were hungry. This is not ordinary. When Krishna descends, he does so many miracles. So, about 500 years ago, Advaitacharya appeared, and he paved the way for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. So they all came, Advaitacharya came first to a place called Shantipur. Who's been to Shantipur? Yeah, it's a very nice place, Shantipur. And Prabhupada used to go to Shantipur. Prabhupada, he used to go to Shantipur every year on his way to see his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati departed, Prabhupada had in his mind the order of his Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada said, "My spiritual master is never separate, he's always by my side." He never felt separate from his spiritual master. Although he left his body was in the samadhi, he was always appear in his vani form. So Prabhupada used to go to Shantipur, to the home of Advaitacharya. There's a nice deity of Advaitacharya. And there you can see the place where Advaitacharya sat by the Ganga. He sat by the Ganga and he prayed for Lord Chaitanya to appear. I think it was a Nisringa Shalagram. Nisringa Shalagram. And he took the tulsi leaves and he took the Ganga Jal and he cried out for the Lord, "You must appear. You must appear, my Lord. Because I cannot do this work myself. I'm an incarnation of Mahavishnu, but I'm not so powerful. I can teach people how to love God, how to awaken their love of God. I'm not so powerful. You must come." This was the plan. So Lord Shiva is actually Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. He's the greatest of the Vaishnavas. And he wants to benefit all living beings with love of God. So this was Advaitacharya. He appeared as a Vaishnava. And he was the leader of all the Vaishnavas. And he was, one day he was in the river, in the Ganga. It was the Gorpanima. It was a time that there was an eclipse of the moon. The moon, full moon, and all of a sudden, black. Something covered the moon. And of course, in Vedic astronomy, this is Rahu. It went dark. So everyone was in the Ganga, chanting, "Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare." And they were feeling, Advaitacharya was feeling ecstasy. Hare Dasa was jumping in ecstasy. And he knew that this was the time when Lord Chaitanya was taking birth. So it was Advaitacharya who called Lord Chaitanya, by his loud calls, Lord Chaitanya came down. Because Advaitacharya was appearing as a devotee also. So he was so intense, Lord Chaitanya knew that he had to appear. And his wife, Sita Thakurani, when he heard that Sachimata had given birth at that exact time, she went from Shantipur in a palanquin. In those days, you didn't have motor cars. She was a well-to-do lady from the Brahmin caste. They were quite well-to-do. So there were people carrying her, the wife of Advaitacharya, and she bought so many nice things. Durba grass, you know, unbroken seeds, and little jewels for the baby. And she came and she worshipped the baby, Lord Chaitanya. So there are many pastimes of Advaitacharya. One time, actually before Lord Chaitanya was born, Advaitacharya visited the house of Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra. And Sachimata was very pregnant. You know what a very pregnant woman looks like? Amazing, you know, effulgent. But Sachimata looks so effulgent. And Vaishacharya was dancing around Sachimata mysteriously. I said, what is this person doing? He said, because he was a friend of a Jagannath Mishra. But he was dancing around. And there was something special within her womb. So then, of course, Maya, it was Yoga Maya, was there. And this young boy, Lord Chaitanya, started to manifest his wonderful pastimes. And one time, when Lord Nityananda and Advaitacharya, sorry, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, they came to Advaitacharya's house on the day of Madhavendra Puri's disappearance day. And what's going on? So much prasadam is being cooked for thousands of people. Where's it all come from? It's miraculous. And I said, it's just amazing. And they were looking. There was big warehouses full of bananas and rice. Where did it all come from? It was a miracle. It all suddenly appeared. And then Advaitacharya said, you come with me, I'll feed you. So the Advaitacharya was feeding Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. And they were joking. So although they're incarnations, they play together sometimes. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself, and Lord Nityananda is Balaram, and Advaitacharya is Shambhu. They're all sitting at lunch together, joking and playing around. This is a wonderful philosophy of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It's amazing that the Supreme Lord, who is maintaining all others, just like a fire. Actually, the philosophy is very nice. There's one big fire, and then there's many sparks. And we are the tiny sparks. We have the quality of the fire. We are just like a fire has many hot sparks, and the fire is also hot and light, is emanating light, and then there's a lot of heat. So each spark is qualitatively one with the fire, but individually very small. So this is the Siddhanta of Advaitacharya. This is what he is teaching the whole world. Very important. People don't understand God. They think that one day I will become God. If I take enough LSD or enough beer, one day I'll become God, or I do this kind of yoga, that kind of yoga. But this is not true. We can never become God. Can I become the Creator? God is always God. He's supreme. And what am I? I am a tiny part and parcel of God. And what is my duty? To serve God. That's where I'll be happy. Just like my finger. Finger is part of my body. This is what they should be teaching at Melbourne University, London University, all the universities of the world. We should be teaching what is the soul? What is the relationship with the Supreme Soul, who's maintaining this ecosystem? Everyone's worried about this planet Earth. What's the solution? That's what Advaitacharya is teaching. He's teaching that we must do devotional service. We should use our tongue, our eyes, our ears in love of God, to serve God out of love. Not for some reward. Not for some reward. That's not love. And nobody serves who's serving in their office and not getting paid? Anybody? Do you love your boss? Do you love your factory owner? No. I love the money because I get sense gratification. This is not love. This is lust. It's not love. It's not love. This is what Advaitacharya is teaching. Pure love of God. If we want people to be satisfied in Australia or England or America, you must teach them how to love God. Call God by any name you like. In Africa, there's so many names. Unkulunkulu, Katonda, Imana, Vijayamakulu, Mungu. So many names of God. South African people are more pious than people in Australia. They believe in God. They think, I mustn't do anything sinful, or else I'll have to suffer in hell. Unfortunately, people in Australia, you know, we don't care about God. You see the Hare Krishnas dancing in the street? Aha! You know, all these crazy people. They must believe in God. We believe in money. We believe in progress. Flyovers and new cars and new planes. And this way we'll be... But how do we get happy? By this modern development, fruitive activity. And Prabhupada gives an example. If you have a big load on your head, suitcase, you're a coolie, and after some time it gets so heavy, you put it on your shoulder. Then you put it on the other shoulder. Where's the progress? Now we have motor cars, and we have to build flyways, and we have to fight wars for the petrol. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, where are we going for happiness? Where's real happiness? So Hare Krishna movement is teaching this. Advaita Acharya is teaching how to get real happiness by serving God, by serving Krishna, or serving Jehovah, or serving Jesus, in pure love. And we have many, many books in the Hare Krishna movement here in Dank Street, and we're on the streets everywhere distributing books and chanting the holy names. Please read the books and find out more about Advaita Acharya. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, a wonderful classic, Bengali classic, which has been translated to English. Science of God is there. We have the Science of God in Srimad Bhagavatam also, Science of God in Bhagavad Gita, and many small books. So please take these books for all your universities and schools. And if you want people to be happy, your students to be happy, and not delinquents. I've heard there's so many drug problems now amongst the school kids. Many people want to do home. They don't want their kids to go to school anymore. Well, so let's just start taking drugs, amphetamines and the latest drugs. And their life is ruined. But in Hare Krishna movement, we don't even take tea or coffee because we're so happy. We're so happy. We don't need to do, you know, waste our time taking beer and waste our money. Because we're happy serving Krishna. This is like the finger. What does the finger do? Does the finger do its own thing? No, the finger, if there's a fly or a mosquito, finger comes along, fly away, Mr. Mosquito. Or, you know, the finger serves the whole. This is real holistic knowledge, as Rachel Chaya is teaching. We are parts and parcels of God. We must learn to serve God. My dear Mr. Scott Morrison, please, you visit our temple here in Dank Street. We'll give you a good welcome. We'll give you a wonderful meal. We'll give you proper treatment as a Prime Minister. And we'll give you our books for your library, the Prime Minister's office. You can study these books and you can learn auspiciousness for all the Australians. That's interesting, no? Oh, Australia. Auspicious. So Australia should become auspicious. Yes. Make Australia the most auspicious country of the world by taking by spreading Krishna consciousness. By teaching this Advaita Acharya, he's called Mongol, he's most auspicious. So today is the most auspicious day for Australia. And I hope many people are listening and will listen to this Australian news that Advaita Acharya has appeared today. And he's teaching how Australian people can be happy, especially by the simple process of chanting the names of God. Very easy. We do every day in Melbourne, and what's this by the beach, Saint Kildare. Yesterday we were in Saint Kildare, and we had people from all over the world, blacks, yellows, greens, whites, and even some dogs, and I think the fishes were also jumping. There was a great white shark there, and and there were some seagulls buzzing around, and some people were drunk, some people were not, but everyone was chanting, dancing and singing, like anything. And they were tasting some nectar, which they'd never tasted in their life. Yeah. This is not ordinary, you know, singing and dancing, you know, the Beatles or the Blues. A bit out of date now. I don't know what the ladies are. What's that? Rahana, right? Rahina or Michael Jackson. This is not ordinary. This is a transcendental vibration. And it awakens the soul directly so we can experience spiritual bliss. This is the best yoga. If you like yoga, come to Hare Krishna. All the pranayama, all the exercises for breathing exercise are included in this dancing, chanting and singing. And then we have the most amazing food. Wow. It's spiritual food. And it's healthy. It's tasty. Unfortunately, we're fasting this morning. So you better line up for midday and come along and enjoy the feast. Give us a call if you're coming in a bus. Maybe you have 10,000 people coming. And we have a big kitchen. We can prepare for you. At least 10,000 people are welcome. Everyone out there, please bring your families. We have prasadam. If we run out, at least we'll give you a bit. It's spiritual food. It'll do the trick. So thank you very much. Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu ki. Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu ki. Sri Advaita Acharya ki. So thank you very much. Any questions, please? Yes. Yes, sir. Thank you. You heard what?
The scientists believe that this coronavirus has come from bats, and the bats, the snakes are eating the bats, and those people are eating the snakes, that's how the virus is. So do you believe this theory?
There's a theory by the scientists, you may be interested out there, about the coronavirus, which is spreading like there's some in Australia. It's coming to Australia too, I heard. It's in England now. And, do we believe it come from cats and bats and snakes? But we understand that everything comes from God. So it may come via a bat or a fish or a bird. But especially if people's habits are very dirty, you may get infected. So therefore, best to keep the animals outside the house. It's good. The animals have their place in nature. But when we try to, cuddle up in bed with them, with the bats and the snakes, some people, then they may catch some disease or other, which they're immune to. But human beings are not immune. So this is possible. No, I don't say the scientists are wrong on this point. So we teach in Hare Krishna we should be very clean. Should take bath, as many times a day as possible. And we should avoid, especially illicit sex. If you have sex with everybody, especially animals, you're likely to catch some weird diseases. And so cleanliness is next to godliness. So... yeah, that's interesting. But ultimately, I hope I won't get blasted for this by the medical association, that there's such a thing as the law of karma. The law of karma. If you break the laws of nature, then there's reaction. If you kill the animals, then you have to be killed yourself, either in this life or the next. So, even Jesus said do unto others as you would like to be done to you. Do unto others, I don't know the exact quote in the Bible, but treat others as you would like to be treated. So if you're cruel to people, and the animals are people also, Animals are also people. Why do you love your God, dog? Why do you love your cat? Why do you love your budgerigar? Because he's a little person. He's so nice, isn't he? My little dog, Fido. I love my dog. I love my cat. I love cats and dogs. We love animals. Because they're persons. They have feelings. There's so many stories about animals. But if human beings are cruel to their fellow creatures on this planet, even the trees and the fishes, if you don't know how to utilize nature, then there'll be a reaction in the form of disease, pestilence, war, plagues, locusts. This is nature's, this is God's way of, I don't want to use this word, it's a dirty word for people. It's there in the Bible, but we just say karmic reaction. The Bible says punishment. Prabhupada didn't use punish very much. He said karmic reaction is war, pestilence, disease, bushfires. This is the law of karma. Because we're hurting others, the hurt comes back to us. You see? So ultimately disease is actually good for us. Because when we suffer, we begin to think, hey, why am I suffering? What happened? I'm supposed to have a good time. Now I've got toothache. Oh no! I've been eating chocolate all my since I was zero age, and now I'm and now my teeth are falling out. Oh, maybe I shouldn't eat so much chocolate. So the people start to think, well, maybe this sense gratification is not the way to enjoy. After I've had my fifth car crash, because of drunken driving, I lose my license. I think, well, maybe I shouldn't drink anymore whilst I'm driving. So we learn the hard way. So this material nature is created that suffering is good for us, so that we start to inquire, who am I? What is the purpose of life? Why have to grow old? Why have to die? This is human life. The four poor fishes and birds and animals like the cows, they can't ask, who am I? So they have to be protected and they have to be looked after, not killed and eaten. Man has dominion over the creatures, the birds and fishes, and to make them God conscious. We have to teach all living beings how to love God so that they can get out and they can return to their real home. This world is not a home. This is the basic teaching of Krishna consciousness. We're like fishes out of the water. Take a fish out of the water and he'll never be happy. But Krishna consciousness is saying, if you chant this Maha Mantra, even if you have coronavirus, even whatever condition of life you're in, you can chant Hare Krishna or the names of God, any names of God, and you can purify your heart and so to awaken your dormant love for God. Krishna consciousness is not saying, we're better than you. We're better than you. We're not saying that. Krishna consciousness is saying everyone's heart is full of love of God. Nitya Siddha Krishna Bhakti Sajya Kabunai Shravanadi Sudha Chitti Kare. This hearing about Krishna, chanting about, singing about Krishna. We're not wasting our time chanting Hare Krishna, just mumbling. No. We know what we're doing. We're trying to awaken our dormant love for God so we can love our neighbors. We love the dogs and cats and the cows. Now it's such a weird society, I heard that in Australia they have farms which are like 10 miles square, maybe 100 miles square, huge farms. And they have millions of cattle. And they round up the cattle by helicopter. And they send them to the slaughterhouse. But the poor cows, actually they give us milk. They give us milk, which is their most wonderful food. Now they're discovering in Canada, in Cambridge, England, the scientists have discovered that people who are vegan, it's on the internet, people who are vegan, they're not getting the proper nutrition. Especially the brain, the vitamins for the brain is not supplied by a vegan diet. You need animal products. And you can take the blood of a cow without killing it by drinking its milk. So why kill the cow? You know. And this killing the animals, it will create more and more desert, more and more karmic reaction by nature. This is the message of the Bhagavad Gita. We're not free. In the prison house, you're not free. If you misbehave in the prison, you get more and more punishment from the jail supervisor. So this material nature is like a jail. So how to get free? So that's his Hare Krishna's singing. Awaken our love of God, and then we can go to the planet where there's no birth, old age, disease, or death. We don't have to grow old and die. We don't have to have diseases. We can live permanently in our spiritual bodies. And it won't be boring. There'll be lots to do. It won't be boring. Everything is there in the spiritual world. This world is just like a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. There's real families there. There's real loving relationships. Everything's there is real. Because there's no time there. It's a timeless life. Who likes time? Every day I'm getting old, I'm dying. It's like a prison house. But we can live a timeless life and never return to this temporary world. So this coronavirus is just actually the mercy of God giving us a kick. Hey, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. You have a dose of corona. It's actually karuna. It's mercy. Karuna is actually karuna. It's mercy. But people won't like to hear this. So we'll be very unpopular. Anyway, I'm saying it. Trying to give the big picture, which nobody's giving in universities and colleges. This is what Advaita Acharya is teaching. The science of God. Why we have to suffer. Why these diseases? If it's not coronavirus, it's cancer. Why we make so much fuss about coronavirus? I think only 200 people have died so far. But how many people are dying every day in Australia of cancer? Everyone's getting cancer. How many people are in Australia getting killed on the road? So, you know. And even then, how many people are dying of old age? Why do we have to die? This is the big question. My dear young children who are listening to this, ask this simple question. Mommy, I used to... you know what I asked my mother when I was a little boy? Do you want to hear? This is very interesting, actually. I was age 6, and my mother was doing the washing up in the kitchen. You know, mothers have to do all the chores, household chores. And I was thoughtful, age 6. Mommy, Mommy, yes, dear, where do we come from? Mommy, where do we come from? You know what happened to my mother? She went red in the face. She was embarrassed. Ooh. He's asking questions about the birds and the bees. Nikki, when Mummy and Daddy kiss? She said, when Mummy and Daddy kiss. That's where you come from. And I thought, God, that's... And I wasn't satisfied. I thought this is a cover-up operation. They're hiding something. Now, what happens if my mother had said, oh, what a good question. Actually, my dear boy, You are eternal spirit soul. You have never been born and you will never die. And you've just taken birth in my mother. You've just taken birth in my as my son so that you can go back to Godhead by learning Bhagavad Gita. So that would have been a good answer. Oh, mommy, really? Tell me about Bhagavad Gita. I'm really eternal. Yes, my dear. You've changed your body so many times. You're a spirit soul. You say, my hand, my nose, my... She could have taught me the whole thing then. Instead, she got embarrassed. So my mother was actually... She was actually in ignorance. She'd been to university. She'd studied English literature. But she didn't know anything about spiritual knowledge. Even she'd been to church. She goes to church, right? She used to go to church. And my father... And I told him, my father told me the same thing. So when are we going to wake up to the facts of life in Australia and America and England and understand that we're not this body by practical experience? If matter has created spirit, why the scientists don't do it? You know, Darwin's theory of... survival of the fittest presumes that this consciousness has come from matter. But where is the proof? Where has it ever happened? So we're being cheated by the scientists, cheated by the modern education. So it's time that the universities and colleges incorporate this Bhagavad Gita in their education system. So next question, please. We can go until 12 o'clock, and then we can take prasadam. Any more questions, please? It's 9:20. Okay. Oh, Hari Bol.
We refer Lord Shiva as the greatest of devotees.
As what?
As the greatest of devotees.
Yes.
But then why do we refer to him if we say that Radharani is the greatest devotee of the Lord?
Nice question. Intelligent question. Well, Radharani is described as how does it go? The main prayer. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Raja Bhagavan Vrajaya Satana Stad Dhamma Vrin. Now the first verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anyway, Krishna first was one, then he become, and his Radharani is his internal Shakti, Antaranga Shakti. So, Krishna and Radha are one, actually. Krishna is one, but then he expands himself as Radharani to enjoy pastimes of love. You see? And then again he became one again as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Naya Anya. You see? Whereas Lord Shiva is a different tattva than Radharani. Krishna's Radharani is Shakti Tattva of Krishna. Whereas Lord Shiva, he's in between Jiva Tattva and Shakti Tattva. He has a special Tattva. He's in between. Because he's Vishnu in touch with the material energy. So he's taken as a, he can be taken as a great Vaishnava. Whereas Radharani, she's Antaranga Shakti of the Lord. I find that nice verse. Any other question, please? Yeah. Carl? Yeah. Why?
Why did Jesus Christ and his devotees eat fish and drink wine?
Well, Prabhupada answers this. I don't know whether he drank wine or whether he did or not, but the Ishwara, the most powerful person, can do so many things which we can't do. You know, Jesus could walk on the water, he could raise the dead, he could multiply fish into feed 3,000 people. We can't imitate this. We should follow the order of the great teacher like Jesus, the great Son of God. He said, thou shalt not kill. If we really love Lord Jesus, we should follow his instruction. Isn't it? We don't try and imitate Lord Jesus. Can we walk on the water? Jesus walked on the water. He raised the dead. He had amazing powers. But we can't do that. So we have to follow his instruction. So Prabhupada, he didn't do any miracles like walking on the water or, you know, feeding that 5,000. But his miracle was changing people's hearts by giving this Maha Mantra. This Maha Mantra shows the real power of the pure devotee, like Srila Prabhupada and Advaita Acharya. They can spread love of God. You know. One time Prabhupada was asked, oh, why are you telling your disciples not to take LSD and cannabis and any drugs? You've not tasted them yourself. So why don't you take these drugs first and then tell them to stop? It was a trick question. So Prabhupada said, all my disciples have given up, so why should I take them? Simply by this chanting Hare Krishna, the drug problem is solved, the meat-eating problem is solved. Everyone knows that meat-eating is bad for the health. When you eat these dead bodies, then it's bad for your body. Plus the slaughterhouses are polluting the water system, and there's so many, you have to cut down the Amazon forests to make grazing ground for feeding the cattle. It's an ecological disaster, unnecessary animal killing. So just by chanting the holy names of God, thousands of people are giving up meat eating, just taking milk and yogurt and cheese and nice dairy products and becoming very healthy. So this is chanting Hare Krishna is the solution. So why did Jesus do this? I think he did it, I shouldn't say I think, but it attracted many people, his miracles. People like to see miracles. And something breaking the laws of nature. So, but the real miracle is if what Prabhupada is doing, by this chanting Hare Krishna, the names of God, we give up all our anti-social activities, anti-ecological activities, and we can live in harmony with nature just by the chanting of names of God. So Jesus was teaching at a p- particular time in Palestine 2,000 years ago. People were very, you could say uncivilized in a way. The Bible and the Quran is Judeo-Christian, this Old Testament, you know, teaches basic things like don't have sex with your mother and don't kill your father and all these kind of things. And people were rather crude there. The Bhagavad Gita is teaching more advanced knowledge. We're not this body, we're spirit souls. You know, try and lead a pure life. You know. So Jesus was teaching at a particular time and place to particular people. Whereas Prabhupada is teaching in a modern context, Lord Chaitanya's teaching in a modern context. So why not take the upgrade? You know, the Bible is wonderful, we respect the Bible, we respect the Quran, it's a word of God. But the Bhagavad Gita is teaching for modern man the same truth in a scientific way, in a rational way. The law of karma, what is a living being, what the science of God, you know, what is the mind, what are the senses, you know, everything is explained in detail in these Vedic scriptures. So Vedic scriptures are for modern society. And this Hare Krishna movement is the same wine in new bottles, the same truth in a new bottle in this form of the Krishna conscious movement. And Lord Chaitanya, Acharya means teacher, but the supreme teacher is Lord Chaitanya. And he's saying to us, all of us, Jari Deki Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agyai Guru Hanatai Edesh. Whoever you meet, wherever you are, you teach them the science of Bhagavad Gita. You become gurus. We want so many gurus. It's actually wonderful that the Indian community have come to here, Australia, and all over the world. And most of them are learning IT. What's it called? What's IT? Information technology. Because they're very brainy people. So if you use your brain to understand Bhagavad Gita and teach people here in Australia, do the Sankirtan movement, it'll be a great benefit, great glory for the Indian nation, all over the world. Lord Chaitanya said, Bharata Bhumi Te Hoila Manusya Janmayar Janma Sataka Koro Para Upakar. That if you're born with this Indian-style body, it's not actually meant for information technology, but the real information is in Bhagavad Gita. This spiritual knowledge you can teach for the benefit of humanity. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Bande Krishna Nanda Kumara. Nanda Kumara Madana Gopala. Madana Gopala Mohana Rupa. Mohana Rupa Nanda Kumara. Jaya Jaya Deva Hari. Govindari Gopalari. Govindari Gopalari. Jaya Prabhu Dina Dayala Hari. Jaya Prabhu Dina Dayala Hari. Jaya Prabhu Dina Dayala Hari. Bande Krishna Nanda Kumara. Bande Krishna Nanda Kumara. Nanda Kumara Madana Gopala. Madana Gopala Mohana Rupa. Mohana Rupa Nanda Kumaram.